Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. The show website is CatholicSportsRadio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps, and there are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can send comments through the website. Plus, there is also a Facebook group, which is called Catholic Sports Radio Community. There are listeners of this show in that group, as well as some former guests. There is a button for that, too, on CatholicSportsRadio.net. And do please help me spread the word about this show and tell others who would enjoy and benefit from listening about Catholic Sports Radio. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Amidst things like Major League Baseball teams reporting for spring training, plus NBA and NHL games getting rescheduled due to COVID protocols, we might have missed some of the sports headlines that are on the troubling side. Former NFLer Kellen Winslow II making a modification to his original guilty plea, whereby he will be sentenced this month to 14 years in prison for committing sexual offenses against five women. Vincent Jackson, another former NFLer, being found dead in a hotel room at the age of just 38, and speculation that he might have suffered from alcoholism. An Olympic bronze medalist and figure skating coach, Peter Uppegaard, being investigated for his actions towards skaters. We put athletes on a pedestal and then find it hard to believe this type of news when it comes out. We have to recognize, unfortunately, the presence of Satan, who wants to take down people that are having success, because, of course, there's a chance of giving glory to God for that success. You heard me report on this podcast in mid-January when the website went down for 5 days, and then, unfortunately, we saw Catholic Sports Radio hit its 2-year anniversary with an episode that there ended up being no guest for. Satan, of course, does not want to see my ministry succeed and continue to bring more people closer to Christ. Friends, just like the athletes who get in trouble with the law, we cannot pretend that Satan, too, is not real. Last week, Sunday, the first Sunday of Lent, we heard Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, and specifically verses 12 and 13, which say, "At once the Spirit drove him out into the desert, and he remained in the desert for 40 days, tempted by Satan." Even Pope Francis, in a morning meditation that he did in April 2014, reminded us that the evil one exists even today, saying, quote, "Watch out, the devil exists. The devil exists in the 21st century, and we must not be naive. We must learn from the gospel how to battle against him." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest played college basketball at Rice University, where her team won the Women's Basketball Invitational Championship 4 years ago this month. 1 year later, they made it to the second round of the NIT before losing to New Mexico. Growing up, in addition to basketball, she had also played soccer and boys baseball, and she ran track and field. Faith-wise, she has testimony to share regarding dealing with major sports injuries, plus another story from within her immediate family. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Gabby Otto.
Hey, Bruce. Hey, everyone. How's it going?
Gabby, thanks so much. Glad to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You bet. I've started to slip into a pattern here on Catholic Sports Radio where it seems like I start out asking the guest about where they were born and the size of their family and then the early years of their Catholic faith. And recognizing that that approach might be starting to get a little repetitious, I actually intended to not do that on this episode. But Gabby, when you told me about your dad and his family size and something unique about his sister, and mind you, listeners, this is 1 week after her sister Mary Jo Sobieck told us about how she has five brothers and four sisters. Gabby, I've got to have you go ahead and tell the listeners about those Catholic roots from your father.
Yeah, so my dad is one of eight children. He was born and raised in St. Louis, Missouri. And he has five sisters, and they're actually all named Mary, different variations of Marys, like Mary Beth, Mary Lynn, and so on and so forth. very Catholic family. And, you know, my dad, of course, passed that down to us later on. But, yeah, big Catholic family from St. Louis, Missouri.
So you said he was from St. Louis, but are you from St. Louis originally also?
Yeah, so I am not. My dad, he's an oral surgeon up in the Kingwood, Texas area. And so following residency, he moved down here and started his own practice in the Houston area. And so I have been born and raised here, eventually went to college down here as well. Okay. So I kind of joke that I was, born in Houston and been here ever since.
Okay. Well, even though you are a cradle Catholic, you actually did not attend any Catholic schools growing up. So share with us about how and when and where you got religious education, and then also about the importance that your family placed on going to Mass.
Yeah, so I was actually the only sibling. I have three other siblings. I have two older sisters and an older brother. And I was the only one to actually not go to a Christian or Catholic school. Uh-huh. So I kind of joked that I was, I was the lab rat, the test, I guess. So I think even though I didn't go to any Catholic schools growing up, Mass was still really important in my family every single Sunday. We were at church in the morning, or we would go to the 5:30, Life Team Kids Mass. And then just growing up and playing sports, a lot of times you have tournament games that end on, Sunday afternoon. And, no matter what, we were finding a church in the local area that the tournament was hosted in and going to Mass pretty much no matter what, so that we were able to receive the Eucharist. Definitely Mass was kind of the center point of our family, somewhere that, when you have four kids, schedules are always crazy, but it was the one place that we could kind of always be together and worship together.
Very nice. Very nice. I mentioned this in the intro, but in your own words, talk about, all those different sports that you participated in when you were growing up, and I guess where the interest came from in being so active in sports.
Yeah, so I think, any time you're the youngest of four siblings, you kind of follow what your oldest siblings are doing, and you get to tag along to their activities. So my family was actually a really big swim family. My oldest sister, her name is Madeline, she swam in college at UCLA and is a record holder there currently, I still think.
Wow.
And then my second oldest sister was a competitive cheerleader and then went on to cheer at Belmont University in Nashville. And my brother was an All-American record holder in swimming in high school and then went on to also play high school football. I grew up swimming and kind of didn't want to, follow the family trend, and eventually worked my way over to basketball somehow. And, kind of fell in love with that sport. But, I started out playing soccer, running track. I played boys baseball until I was in, the fourth grade. And my mom told me that, the boys are getting bigger and kind of got to pick a sport that girls can play and that you kind of think long term. So that's kind of how I ended up going the basketball route.
I'm just curious on the baseball point. Was there ever a consideration of switching to softball?
Yeah, so it's funny. I used to actually tuck my hair up in my baseball hat because I didn't want people to know I was a girl.
Wow.
And games where I had to, when you would have to take your hat off and do the national anthem, my coach would come stand in front of me because I didn't want anyone to, because, when you're little, they're like, she's a girl.
Interesting.
And so, yeah. But, the softball deal, I tried to play it for a little bit, but to me, it just wasn't the same as baseball and was more of a pitcher's game, I'd say.
Okay. Well, in high school, you ran track and did high jump. But unfortunately, the latter is what dealt you a serious injury. Share about that with the audience, please.
Yeah, so in high school, I would play basketball during the winter, and then in the off season, just to stay in shape, I would go to track. And I ran the 200 and high jump in high school. And unfortunately, there's a big track tournament down here actually hosted at Rice University, but I was still in high school, and I was going to do a warm-up jump, and I planted, you know, 2 steps before I was actually going to jump, and I just felt my knee, like, my shin went to the left and my quad went to the right. Mm. And I just heard all these pops, and I was like, something's wrong. And, you know, playing basketball, ACL tears are so prominent. I kind of knew, like, right when it happened, I was like, man, I tore my ACL. So I went and got that checked out and tore my ACL, my MCL, my lateral medial meniscus. So they call it the unhappy triad. Yeah, so I blew my knee out pretty good. Unfortunately, doing a sport, I really just did to, stay in shape for the basketball off season. Mm. But yeah, a little bit unfortunate there.
Wow. Well, so then talk about going on to college. How difficult was it to want to play college basketball, but having had this knee injury? Walk us through that process of, thank you, God, ending up on the women's basketball team at Rice University despite that.
Yeah, so it's actually kind of a crazy story. So about a week and a half before I blew my knee out, I was actually committed to play basketball at Arkansas University. And as a high school, athlete that's dreamed of playing in college for so long, you want to play in the SEC, you want to play in the big stadiums and the bright lights. And so Arkansas was a big offer for me coming out of high school, so I accepted it. I loved their coach, still keep up with her today. But things changed, and her and her husband were a duo coach and moved on. And I decommitted from Arkansas thinking that I was going to follow them, wherever they chose to go coach next. And then unfortunately, I blew my knee out literally the next week. And so you go from being a highly recruited high school athlete to all of a sudden having zero college offers.
Wow.
You're going to be out for, 9 months to a year rehabbing, and I can't play my final AAU season to, like, be re-recruited, So that was definitely a really tough time that, kind of tests your faith, because it's this goal you've been working for literally almost your whole life.
Sure.
And so, eventually, Rice University reached back out to me. They had recruited me previously, and they heard I blew my knee out, and actually on their campus, which is kind of ironic.
Yeah.
And they're one of the only schools to still honor the scholarship offer that they had previously given me. Mm. And so, of course, I accepted and ended up going to school down there. But, yeah, I mean, it was tough, getting to campus and not having play. I think my senior season of high school, I played 7 games maybe, just because I was rehabbing and coming back into the season. So it was tough. I mean, freshman year, it was really hard because you're not the same player you were,
sure.
Expectations are pretty high. It was tough. And thankfully, I look back and it's a blessing that, I didn't tear my ACL or blow my knee out, playing basketball, because I think just mentally that would have been a whole nother obstacle, to overcome.
Gotcha.
So looking back, in retrospect, you can always see the blessing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and listeners, that's not the end of Gabby's injury history. Plus, as I had alluded to in the intro, she has a powerful testimony about something that took place in her immediate family. But before I have her talk about that, even though we are more than 2 years in now with this show, I never lose sight of the fact that there are some people who are just coming to Catholic Sports Radio for the first time. And I'm so grateful for that. And I hope you'll listen to other episodes of the show. And for those of you that have been with me for a while, thank you ever so much. It really does mean so much to me. I'm truly grateful for everyone who listens. It really encourages me as a sign that there are people that believe in what I'm doing and that there is a place for this. Understand that this is all just me doing this, a one-person operation, doing all the writing and recording, editing, booking the guests, promoting the show, doing the administrative tasks, and so on. This is my ministry, and as you've heard me detail on a number of episodes, I certainly do get challenged with a lot of expenses to keep Catholic Sports Radio going. Unfortunately, I don't get any income from doing this, nor do I have any sponsors. So if you like what I'm doing, if you enjoy Catholic Sports Radio, if it's helping your faith life and you see value in everything that I put into this and deliver, I would greatly appreciate your support. There is a convenient way to contribute, which is the Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. It's easy and secure and allows you to contribute in whatever amount you wish. There's no drop-down menu of amounts. There's no minimum. Alternatively, as some others have done, you can instead get in touch with me through the contact section of the website and ask me for the mailing address to send a check to. Regardless of which method you use, I do truly appreciate everyone who contributes and will even happily say your name on Catholic Sports Radio or give you a thanks via social media. Or, of course, you can choose to keep it anonymous. No contribution is too big and no contribution is too small. Please pray about it and do please consider a contribution to Catholic Sports Radio and helping me to continue on and give back with my time and talent in an effort to move more people closer to Christ. Gabby, just to pick up where we left off and finish that discussion first, talk about the rest of your basketball career at Rice, meaning what else you had to deal with injury-wise, and of course, how you got through that emotionally and spiritually.
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, at Rice, you know, it's so hard because you come out of high school and you're, you know, this awesome player, and then all of a sudden you go to college where, you know, the competition is really good. Everyone was, you know, the best player at their high school, the best player in the region. And so that was really hard, especially coming off of an injury like mine. You know, you're not playing exactly how, you know, well you would want to. And so it was hard. Honestly, my freshman year, I didn't play that much. And it was really hard to go from playing a full game in high school to going into your freshman year and like essentially being benched, you know, just because you're not playing up to the level that you should be.
Wow.
And so that was hard. And, you know, coupled with the fact that Rice, you know, academically is, I think, the number 13 school in the country. You know, there's super tough, demanding academics. Basketball is just as demanding.
Whoa.
Yeah. And, you know, you're not playing. And so it was really hard, honestly. And I had to rely on my faith a lot of the time, just, you know, to kind of just even get me through that season. And it, looking back, you know, it was awesome because I got to talk to my parents through those moments and then just kind of mentor me and, you know, have them encourage me in my prayer life and, you know, in my faith to just really lean on God during that time. So, yeah, I think, you know, anytime you go through something hard like that, you kind of lean into the friendships around you and you know, surround yourself with people that are going to uplift you and point you to the cross. But, you know, and then as you are at the school longer, and, you know, the longer I was at Rice, the more I understood our offense and was able to contribute. And it was really special because we had a new coach come in my freshman year, and she put this awesome new offensive system in. So the longer I was there, I was able to really understand it and contribute more, I guess. And so it was cool. My junior year, I led our team to the most winning season in Rice women's basketball history. Yeah, you know, we almost cracked the top 25, and then they ended up doing it my senior year. And I, you know, you mentioned all my knee injuries. So end of my junior year, I started having really, really bad knee pain again. I knew I didn't tear my ACL again, and so I went to my doctor. He's awesome. His name's Dr. Walt Lowe down here, just a world-renowned surgeon. And so I got some imaging done on my knee, and turns out I had a massive cartilage defect. And it was one of those things, yeah, so, you know, I'm 24 years old now, and, I mean, my knees looked like, you know, I'm double my age. Because I had bone on bone rubbing. Yeah, and so it was a really tough moment. And he and I had to have a hard conversation of, you know, I want to be able to grow up. I want to be able to, you know, play with my kids outside and not be limping around, you know, until one day I'll get a knee replacement, I'm sure of it. So, yeah, he and I had the hard conversation of hanging up, you know, the basketball shoes. And I got to you know, kind of lead the team through a different way, not as much on the court, but help mentoring the younger girls on a team, which was really, it was a sweet moment. Not exactly how you dream up your senior year, but definitely one of those more rewarding things.
Well, and on that note, I do want to make sure that you get a chance to talk about what you did at Rice University that you say was, quote, so crucial in my faith walk throughout college. Share with the audience what I'm referring to.
Yeah, so in my time at Rice, I became very active in FCA. And for those of you guys that don't know, it's Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And that was probably the single most influential thing in my faith walk in college. You know, I think when you're in college, it's this time where you're like rediscovering yourself. You're thrown into this hard academic, this hard athletic journey, and things can kind of go, you know, one of two ways. And I think for me, being a part of FCA and surrounding myself with good people that were encouraging and loved the Lord and, you know, in your challenging moments could, you know, spread the gospel to you and just remind you of, you know, how much you're loved and that, you know, these battles that you're fighting, they've already been won, you know, and you will always be on the winning side. That was really cool for me because it got to show, it showed me how, you know, people my age and those around me, how much they love Jesus, just like unapologetically too, and just blatantly. So that was really, really cool for me. And I helped lead praise and worship with FCA, played the guitar, and, you know, before our FCA nights, once or twice a week, we would do praise and worship, which was awesome. But yeah, I think their FCA down there is fabulous and definitely kind of changed the course of my life, I'd say.
Wonderful, wonderful. And listeners, you know that over the 2+ years of the show, we've had a lot of great testimony from a lot of great guests. Some of it is pretty heavy stuff, kind of have a box of tissues nearby. As I've been mentioning a couple times, and I promise things will turn positive here with Gabby, but first it's important that we hear her testimony about the development in her immediate family that I've referred to a couple times now. Gabby, if you would.
Yeah. So I think when I was 13 years old, I mentioned that I have three other siblings. My brother, he was 3 years older than me, and he and I were just best buds growing up. One of the reasons I played boys baseball was because he played, and I wanted to do everything that my brother did. So he was 16 years old. I was 13. He went out for a skateboarding ride one day and fell off and hit his head on the pavement. And he ended up suffering a traumatic brain injury, or other words, it's called a TBI. And he was rushed to our downtown, the world's largest medical center down here in Houston, and essentially told that, you know, his injury was inoperable. His, you know, intracranial pressures were that of like 30, 40, and a normal one of you and I would be like 8. And so essentially they told us that we would have a couple hours with him at most to bring our local priest down and have him give him his last rites. And so you can imagine as a 13-year-old, that was tough. You know, just in a blink of an eye, your whole life is different. And like the fighter he is, he survived 8 more hours before shift change happened. And there was a new surgeon on call. He came in the room and just looked at him. I mean, he looked like a little angel sitting there in the hospital bed, you know, like tan skin, bright blonde hair, just like looked awesome. He was like, man, this kid is so young. Like, why are we not operating on him? If anything, it's just worth, you know, a shot. He may not make it through. It's probably unlikely, but it's better than, you know, just sitting here and letting him die otherwise. And so he did the surgery on him and it went awesome. He made it through. And for a year straight, he was in the ICU and in the hospital. There was not a day that went by that my mom or my dad or my siblings were not there. It was, I mean, if you talk about watching a parent love their child, it was just one of those things that, you know, you look back and you're like, that is what love is. And ultimately, you know, that's what Christ did for us. And so, yeah, my parents were with him for a year straight in the hospital, and he still, he was a quadriplegic, so he couldn't move his arms, couldn't move his legs. The only way he could really communicate with us was through eye blinks. You could ask him yes or no questions, and a yes would be one blink, and a no would be two blinks. But yeah, I mean, my parents gave him the best possible care that you could imagine. The best, you know, physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, all of that, and getting to watch them, you know, love him and take care of him the way that a parent would was amazing to watch. And it really tested the faith of our family. You know, a lot of times it's easy to think, why are these things happening to me? You know, it becomes easy to question, I think, the goodness of God. And I think, you know, thinking about my story and SCA and kind of wrapping it all together, these were things that I was struggling with even through college. I mean, when I was 13, I moved in with my best friend and her family. They took me in like I was one of their own. They gave me, you know, I slept on the couch, but they gave me a dresser drawer to put my clothes in. And she really, I mean, my friend and her mom just, you know, took me in literally as another child. And then, you know, fast forward to college, you're wrestling with these ideas of like, of goodness and what is good. And I remember one of our FCA directors really just encouraged me to start reading the Bible and like asking these questions to God. And I just randomly one day started flipping to Job. And I remember reading these stories of all these like things have been taken from him. And even in it, he was like, God is good. I will praise you. This is horrible, but this is good. And then, you know, God comes in and says, who are you to know what good is? And really just humbles him.
Yeah.
And so that was the moment where I was like, wow, all of these things in my life that have been, you know, things that made me question why I was doing what I was doing and like all these hard moments just came to that one moment of like, man, I don't even know what good is. Good in my eyes is so different than, you know, what is good in God's eyes. And, you know, if my brother's story brought one person to Christ, then it was worth it. You know, heaven will be more crowded because of him. And that, I think, just his journey has really strengthened my faith and my family's faith. And, you know, unfortunately, he actually passed away in July, and it was amazing at his funeral how many people came up to our family and said, you know, our life is forever different because of your son and your family and the way that you walked through those moments. And so, you know, although it was sad, we know that he's, you know, dancing in heaven at the feet of Jesus and looking down here and you know, still taking care of us. But yeah, I mean, that was a really hard moment in our life that I would say really shaped our faith.
Well, God bless you for your strength and for your testimony, because as you can tell, folks, I'm a wreck over here. I mean, I'm listening to this and I'm just fighting back the tears. And Gabby, I admire the way that you're able to tell that story and to do it with such conviction, because you know that it is meant for someone listening right now to hear and to draw strength from and to move closer to Christ in whatever their situation is. So let's turn things around here. I promised that we would talk about something much happier, which is that not quite a year and a half ago, you and your now husband went through the sacrament of holy matrimony.
Yes. So I actually met my husband at Rice. He played baseball there, and I was on the basketball team. And so we met and got married, I think, 3 years into dating. So right after I graduated college, we got married at Sacred Heart Catholic Church out in the Conroe area. And it was special. You know, he grew up Methodist, and so it was cool to be able to walk with him through baptism. I actually got to watch him be baptized, which is really
cool.
Wow.
Yeah,
so that was really special. You know, he and I kind of getting to figure and dive deeper into the Catholic faith together. So yeah, that was really fun. Now he's out in Tampa right now at spring training. He's a pitcher in the New York Yankees organization. So we do distance like eight months out of the year, but when we're together, it's really special. So
wow,
happy times.
Well, final question. How is the knee these days, and are you able to participate in any sports?
Yeah, the knee is doing really well. I had 3 knee surgeries on it, but, you know, just from a conservative standpoint, I try not to do much running on it. Just, you know, figured I'll get as much life out of it as I can. So I kind of stick to biking these days. I actually got a Peloton bike over quarantine, and so I've been riding that a lot. So, yeah, still definitely involved in sports, you know, through my husband, and just recreational through Peloton or whatever. But, yeah, definitely still enjoy being active.
Well, and I'm going to say, anyways, listeners, let's pray for Gabby and continued healing of her knees so that there is restoration and she can return to whatever degree of physical fitness that she chooses. In the meantime, Gabby, thank you ever so much for being on Catholic Sports Radio. I've really enjoyed having you on the show and really appreciate you coming on and sharing your testimony with the audience.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Bruce. It meant a lot.
Absolutely. So listeners, since we do have an athlete on the line, I thought it would be fitting to close this episode with a prayer for athletes. And of course, we'll do it together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, God, for giving me life and talents for my participation in sports. Help me to play well, to use my powers to the full, to see them as gifts from you. Be with me when I need to play hurt, when I have to deal with the pain of injury, disappointment, loss. Keep me aware of the brotherhood, the sisterhood that I have with all athletes, even when they are opponents. Free me from the temptation to fake, to foul, to cheat. I need to see that dedication to the cause will mean suffering, but let me know that it is the kind of suffering that leads to new life and greater maturity. Help me play with heart and never lose heart. Most of all, help me never to quit in my efforts to be open to you, for I believe your full coming into my life is the way to real life in all I do. I believe it is the way of my becoming the truly human person you destined me to be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.